Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planning and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Todd Atkins.
Howdy.
Howdy. Howdy. Howdy, y'all. All right. So we are going to continue our little mini series on Leadership Pipeline. So episode 534, 536, and today 538 is all in partnership with one another, really one train of thought as we really dig into some of the nuts and bolts in and around Leadership Pipeline, especially during the crazy time that we are in. All right. So in conjunction. So if you haven't listened to those two episodes, this could kind of stand alone, but there's going to be a lot of principles that we have talked about in the last two, like the 7S framework or like the different structure, or we're even talking a lot about doing and equipping and all that, that is going to speak into that, into this episode in particular. So I do want to encourage you to listen back to 534 and 536 if you haven't yet done so. But for today's episode, here is the question. My team is full of doers, not equippers. What do I do? And you know, it's interesting.
And yeah. Sin no more.
Well, and the interesting added fact onto that is during COVID, there's likely a lot of doing type of opportunities to serve because buildings were shut down and then what, right? And then it was like, yeah. So even from the perspective of church staff, doing more than equipping. But we talked a little bit about that around the topic of staffing back in episode 534. So let's talk more from the perspective of the team. Okay. Those on our team, they are
right.
More full of doers than equippers. What do we do?
Well, okay. The reason why I said repent and sin no more is you reproduce what you are. So if you're a doer, you're going to reproduce doers. If you're a developer, you're naturally going to reproduce developers. And we see that lived out in our lives, in our secular, you know, roles or in recreation, in church, wherever you are, you see that played out. And so I would say one of the first things you have to do is go back to that episode where we did talk about the 7S framework and kind of audit your S's, audit your story of, you know, what your church is about and what your specific ministry is about and how you develop people. You should have stories around that, that you champion, that you bring up from time to time that help people understand what you mean when you say development. So story, dramatically important. Then look at your strategy, then look at your structure, your systems, your style and skills and selection and say, okay, is there one of these that's glaringly broken? And you're like, Todd, they're all broken. Well, then, okay, well, then I would say start with story and begin to tweak and work on and align those as you move forward. I mean, the biggest thing is people have to have, you know, kind of a heart change and a heart shift as much as a mind shift.
Yeah.
You know, you just can't preach it or do one, you know, hand them a sheet of paper and say, this is your new role. And part of that role is development. It has to be modeled for them. And remember, people are carriers of culture. Paper does a poor job of carrying culture. So it really is going to start with you and a few of your key leaders. And, you know, as you bring them on board, it will be easier. It's not going to be a overnight change. It's going to be a shift that then is subtle at first, but then begins to pick up steam and, you know, you're 2 years away
yeah.
from being able to say, oh, well, my whole team is developers. You know, we've shifted that much, and it's going to seem really, really hard at first,
yeah.
but it will be worth it for you personally and for the kingdom if you stick to it.
So how much is this related to the concept around being an A player or a B player? And let me explain. I had a conversation recently with, or probably a few months ago, with Sean Morgan, who is the host of the Leaders in Living Rooms podcast, which is a fantastic podcast if you haven't yet listened into it. And as our listeners know, I mean, we're in the middle of a succession process at our church. And in light of that, he's been really been such a great help. And he was helping me understand just the concept in between, you know, the difference between A players and B players. And I know it's often been said that A players hire A players and B players hire C players. But here's a comment that he said that really stood out to me. He was like, A players don't have to know and be in every decision-making process, or I'm paraphrasing him right now. They don't need to be, they don't need to make every decision. B players need to make every decision. B players need to be a part of every decision and need to know, they need to know everything about everything. Whereas A players, they're like, no, that person is in charge of that. And, you know, they have the responsibility and the authority to make the decision there. I don't need to make it for them, or I don't need to be involved. Just inform me of what that is. So it was an interesting explanation when Sean really connected that A player, B player language with decision-making. So what are your thoughts in and around that, especially as it relates to this question of the team being more full of doers than equippers?
I think that there's a lot of truth to that, that adage of A's hire A's and B's hire C's. Mm-hmm. It's so true. And I think it's very insightful what he told you as well. I think that plays out on, again, if you think about different teams that you've been a part of or organizations that you've been a part of, that bears out. And even to the point, there's another adage, people don't quit organizations, they quit leaders.
Yep.
People don't quit your team, they quit you.
Yep. Yep.
Now, if you've developed that person, their posture in leaving is going to be one of gratitude, humility, thankfulness that you were a part of their life, and now they get to go do something bigger and better for having been under your leadership. And you should think that that is an amazing thing if they leave and they go to somewhere better. So my goal, and I said this when I hired you, and I say this when I hire everybody, is you will be recruited or promoted. You'll be recruited away from my team or promoted within 3 years. And if you're not, then I'm doing something wrong. If you don't have an opportunity, then there's something wrong. Hmm. And, you know, with you in particular, I can remember having a conversation with somebody on 50Q, I think. But I was like, man, there's a point in time where Daniel is going to run past me, and I need to be okay with that, just because of who you are, your age, your potential, all those things. And I need to be okay with that. And I think I am. But you know,
yeah, no,
if you think about different people that were,
yeah,
go ahead.
No. It's, no, I appreciate that. And so sorry to interrupt, but here's the image that popped into my mind while we were talking. The relational leader who is so good at caring for everyone on their team that A players, and I'm not saying that every, okay, let me just clarify here. I'm not saying that every relational leader is a B player. That's not what I'm saying. I'm specifically talking about kind of that relational leader who is, man, you know, he's like, he's a B player. Everyone loves him because you know that he loves you and is a great leader. You know you're cared for. Everyone has weaknesses, and you know he's kind of like, you know, good old Uncle Bob kind of thing. But he's that kind of leader. And A players, no one wants to leave his team because there are no A players on the team. Everyone on the team is content with being led. Everyone on the team is content with being where they're at, doing any of the stallions, any of those A player types of people. They don't even want to be a part of that team. They don't even join it in the first team. So it's not like they can leave. So what do you say to the leader right now who is recognizing, wait a second, I don't have any A players on my team. Is that because I'm a B player? I don't want to be a B player. I don't want that. What advice would you have in that situation?
Okay. So this might be a little bit of a stretch.
Yep.
But I would say think about, there's another 9-box tool that that I'd put together that was really looking at someone's potential and performance. That was the X and Y axis. And then, so you would basically, instead of putting one of your people in a box, you have to put yourself in a box, and you can put your people in a box too. That's always fun. But you know, the person with tons of potential, but we're not quite sure of their performance yet. That was a poser or prodigy. We don't know. The next rung over was a rock star, and that person's performance was mediocre. But they were a rock star because everybody thought they had tons of potential. Mm. And everybody probably thought they had tons of potential for the last, you know, 10 years. But it actually hasn't been lived out in performance. So it's that person with that type of personality. That person tends to have those people they are B players. Let's be honest. They're B players. But they're not seeing it. And if they don't have a leader that sees it and corrects it in them, then they have to have this aha moment that you're talking about. Hmm. Once they do, then I think it's up to them to start to think about who they're recruiting, first of all. And then also, they've got to put together a plan for themselves on their own personal development and understand what the competencies of an A player is. So, you know, you could go back to Lencioni's ideal team player or whatever, but you need to define what that is and then work on that and, you know, get coaching and get, you know, whatever development is available to you, shift it to being focused toward that end. Once you recognize it, you have to do something about it.
Yeah. And that's the first step. The first step is recognizing that and then saying, okay, what is my development plan in light of that? So, fantastic. Well, thanks again for listening into the New Churches Q&A podcast. We do hope that it was helpful. If so, then we would love it if you shared this episode with a team member, maybe not someone on your team. If they're like, why are they sending this to me? Maybe if there's someone else who are like, you know what, I want to be developed. I want to grow. Send this to the person that you want to grow with, someone who can keep you accountable, someone who you could share this with, and be of an encouragement to one another, like iron sharpens iron. So we would be honored if you would do that. You can just hit the share button on your podcasting app and send that over. All right, thanks again for listening in, and we'll catch you next time.